Okay. I was sharing with you this morning, and in a sense I want to continue a little bit, about how the Lord saved my life three times. One, when I was eaten up with cancer and the Lord healed me and I was restored to health. Second, when I had a heart attack and the Lord healed me and restored my heart right up to almost 4% again, working, functioning properly, so they've kicked me out and don't even want to see me again. And two, when they tried to do the operation, they bodged up and I had 30 seconds to live, but the Lord saw me through it. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the ways the Lord talks to me is through the Word of God. And He will pop a verse into my mind and I will look it up and see what it says and see if it fits the circumstances I'm in. And I knew that the devil had tried to kill me off three times. I knew that. But I only knew it in my knower. I'd had no word from the Lord about it. I just knew God was showing me that. And while I was laying in the hospital bed, God kept saying to me, Psalm 153. There isn't a Psalm 153. Only it's up to 50, so I thought, I'm not hearing that properly. Weeks later, and I asked, Lord, you've not given me a word yet. He said, Psalm 153. There isn't a Psalm 153. Lord, you can't, it's not you saying this, it's my imagination. Again, Psalm 153. For this went on for some weeks after I was out of hospital and recouping and all the rest of it. And I said, okay, Lord, okay. So I got fed up with it. You know what I did? I did what the teenagers do. I Googled it and found Psalm 153. And it was in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And I knew that the devil had tried to kill me and God had delivered me. This is a modern translation of it. Praise God, all you nations. Glorify his name and bless his name, who rescued the soul of his chosen from the hands of death and delivered his holy one from destruction and saved me from the trap of hell and my soul from the deep pit. Before my deliverance came from him, I was almost torn in pieces by wild beasts, but he sent his angel and closed their mouths and save my life from destruction. Amen. How does that fit? Absolutely perfectly. So the Lord confirmed that the enemy had tried to wipe me out, but he wasn't having any of it. And he delivered me. Praise God. Isaiah 53. Let's just pray. Father, we love your word. We thank you that, Lord, your word is supernatural. It's not just written word. It's a word that feeds us. It's the bread of our lives. That we should absorb some of it at least every day to feed and to grow spiritually. And we thank you for your word, O Lord. And pray in Jesus' name that you will continue to bless us through it. Amen. Just apart from what we read, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore. Did you know that? Jesus didn't die for just your sins, he died for your grief. He did not only die to forgive you for what you've done, he died to heal you of what others have done to you. Our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten, and God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of his well-being fell upon him. This is the other translation you'll find written often in the column alongside on verse 4. It says, surely our sicknesses he himself bore and our pains he himself carried. Because it can be translated that way. You see, Jesus died on the cross to forgive us our sins, to heal us of the pain of those that have sinned against us, and to heal us of our sicknesses and our afflictions, and to make us whole. God wants you to be whole. One of the greatest places you can actually get healed And often I've seen healing from is at the communion. When we take the bread and the wine together and we reach out and touch God. One of my favourite words in the New Testament is the Greek word proskynuo. We translate it 66 times, worship. Literal translation, we come to you to kiss you. So in worship, we come to kiss God. And he comes to kiss us and release his loving, healing power upon us and restore us and make us whole. Amen. I believe he wants to do some of that tonight. Look with me at John chapter 21. One of my favourite parts in the Bible, because I fail our God so often that it's just nice to know that he loves me anyway. And John 21. And I love this bit, verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said, "Son of Peter, son of John, do you love me?" Oh no, before there it says 12. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." And the disciples ventured to question him. "Why, Lord? This is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. This is the resurrected Christ. This is God in all his glory. This is our Jesus." And he walks up the beach and cooks breakfast. He just practically cooks breakfast for his disciples. Just a practical, simple, loving, gentle thing to do. Isn't that amazing? You know, our God got on his knees, took some fish, made a fire, and cooked breakfast for his disciples, for his followers. That's precious. So verse 15, so when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these do?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." So he said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, Peter, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and you'd walk everywhere you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and land and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now this, he says, signifying what kind of death he would have to take to glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is a very precious piece of scripture, especially when you get the true understanding and the meaning of it in the Greek. Because every time Jesus spoke to Peter, he said, "Peter, do you love me?" He used the word agape. "Peter, do you love me sacrificially?" And Peter would say, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Filio." He didn't repeat agape. He repeated filio, which is brotherly love. So every time Jesus said to him, "Do you love me sacrificially, Peter? Because you're going to have to die for me. You're going to have to be a martyr. Do you love me enough? Do you love me sacrificially?" Peter would turn around and say, "No, I love you like a brother." But Jesus is so patient with us and so kind to us, because right at the very end, the third time Jesus asked, the reason that Peter is grieved is because Jesus actually says to him, "Okay, Peter, do you love me like a brother?" And he says, "Yes, Lord, you know all things. I love you like a brother." So Jesus came down to his level and said, "Okay, you love me like a brother." But what he was trying to say to Peter is there is going to come a time when you're going to have to learn to love me sacrificially, because you're going to have to die for the faith. Are you with me? But God is in the process of wooing us into a place of sacrificial love. There are people that come to the Lord and they sort of just love him like a brother, or they just step into the kingdom. They don't totally surrender everything to Jesus right at the beginning. But Jesus wants you to surrender to him so that he can give you everything. Somebody said to me once, David, what is commitment to Christ? And I said, it's summed up. Jesus said it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, you can be emotionally healed. If you love your God with all your mind, you can be mentally healed. If you love the Lord your God with all your strength, you can be physically healed. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? If you are surrendered in that area to God, you can receive healing. I had a lady come up to me once and she wanted to whisper to me because I was praying for people. By the way, we had three people lovely touched by the Lord and healed this morning. Two words of knowledge, which was wonderful. And anyway, this lady came up and she said to me, she whispered in my ear that she had got lumps in her breast and she thought she had, that she knew she had cancer. And I went to pray for her and the Lord said to me, don't. This is what he said, ask her if she was willing to go out to Africa as a missionary where she would be martyred for the faith. I thought, this is really silly. But I asked her, and she said, I don't know. That's a very big thing to ask. How can I answer that? I possibly don't know. I'm going to have to go away and think about that. And she went away. Following evening, in the evening service, she came back. She came to the front, and she said, yes, I am. I said, you are what? She says, I'm willing. I surrender my life to Christ. I'm willing to go and be martyred if necessary in serving him as a missionary. So I spoke to the Lord and said, right, tell her she's healed. I said, but I haven't prayed for her yet, Lord. He said, no, just tell her she's healed. Because she's willing. So I said, you're healed. Oh, am I? She said, yes. She went away, she went to the lady's room, she came back, she said, there's no lumps, there's not one anywhere, it's all gone, it's completely gone. Because she was willing to be surrendered to Christ, she was at a place where she could receive his healing. It's not that God doesn't want to heal you, he desperately wants to heal you. As I said to somebody this morning, he wants to heal you more than you want to be healed. He wants to make you whole more than you want to be whole. His whole plan at the cross was to make you whole. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically whole. That was his plan, right from the beginning. But we have to be at a place where we're surrendered to God to receive it. I get people come forward eaten up with guilt of things that have happened in the past, that the enemy's locked them into, and they say they can't possibly be healed because of what they've done in the past. And I say, don't talk such nonsense. Jesus has forgiven you. You're a new creature in Christ. You're born again. Do you know the scripture where it actually says that we are new creatures in Christ? That the scientist actually stole the Greek word from there to explain when a creature like a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. Did you know that when a caterpillar goes into its pupa and it gets ready to turn into a butterfly, that it actually turns into soup? Did you know that? There's not one part of it left. It is just a green soup in a sack. It totally breaks down and transforms into another creature, totally and completely. And the Greek word that the word of God gives us is metamorphosize. So when you gave your life to Jesus, you became metamorphosized. You are not the old person made over. You are brand new. You are a new creature in Christ, totally and absolutely brand new. And because of that, you can have all the healing, all the love, all that God has got and won for you at the cross. Amen? Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Good. And he wants you to have that. We need to come to a place of learning to love God with all we've got. Do you know where that starts? By learning to love each other with all we've got. Do you know where that starts? By learning to love yourself with all you've got. Jesus said you have to forgive in order to be forgiven. first person you need to learn to forgive is yourself. Once you've got past forgiving yourself, then you can start loving your neighbour and your brothers and your sisters in Christ. Then that love can grow. And how that love begins to grow and change you on the inside. We hired a man, he was a trumpeter actually, in the worship band. And he was new in the church. I used to be a pastor, believe it or not. And most of you wouldn't believe it, but I had a team, you see. I always have a team that does everything that I can't possibly do, which is most things. And he used to come in every Sunday, and he used to go around and he used to hug everybody. And he hugged them, and he hugged them, and he hugged them to the point where they were hug sick. And every Sunday it was the same. He would go up, and I'm talking about a hug. I'm not talking about a little Christian tap on the shoulders. He would get you and he would crush you. And this went on for 18 months. And people were getting lovesick about it, but they were tolerating it, and they continued to tolerate it and continued to put up with it. And then one Sunday he said, "Can I give a testimony?" And we said, "Yes." And he got on the platform, he said, "When I came to this church, I was about to commit suicide. I didn't love me, I hated me, and I thought everybody else hated me. And I came round and I hugged everybody because I was desperate for the love. I was desperate to be loved. And I came round," and he said, "I know some of you are sick of it, but I came round and hugged you because I needed your love. And as you hugged me and as I hugged you back, I got healed. I got healed of self-hatred. I got healed of disrespect for myself. I got healed of the way that my father treated me when I was a child. I got healed of being rejected by the woman that I married. I got healed of all this stuff so much that I love Jesus now, and I know he loves me, warts and all." And all the people that were sick of it ran forward and hugged him. And began to realise that they'd been used in his healing just by simply loving him. There's a lady, it was on the radio actually 2 days ago, that she goes around hospitals and she takes people's hands and she talks to them and she prays with them and she goes and visits their family. And she'd been visiting a man for 6 months who they had written down as dumb, he would never speak. And she held his hand and she told him about God and she told him how God loves him, all the rest of it. And she just left him one day, said, "I'm right now," she said, "I'm going off to see your family." As she went for the door, he turned around and said, "God bless you." And she broke into tears because she'd loved him back into life. Communion is a place we can do that. It's a place where we can love each other into life. It's a place where we can bring healing to each other. You know, the world is so bad, and if we're not careful as Christians, we do it as well, to gossip the negative stuff that's around. How many times do we go to tell to someone in the church and say, "I love you"? Did you know that? How many times do we turn around and say, "Do you know, I've seen you change since you've been here"? Do you know, you don't see yourself change, because you live with you all the time. But others see you change. So we should be able to tell each other that we've seen each other change and that God has been changing you and our lives are different. Don't be embarrassed about it. We need to help each other grow. We need to help each other change. We need to be able to speak into others' lives. Ladies are so much better at this than men, gentlemen. But we need to get there. We need to get to a place where we can tell each other how much God loves us and how much we've changed to become the people we're meant to be. Amen? So we're going to take communion in a moment. I'm going to ask you to do something strange. We're going to have the communion song, which I love. My team didn't even know it existed, but I've just been teaching them over the few weeks. The communion song is going to be up here and it's going to be sung as we take communion. And will you do me a favour? Take an extra piece of bread. And when you eat the bread, don't eat it on your own. Go to somebody in the congregation. Go to somebody that God sends you to. Tell them how much you love them. Tell them how much they've changed. Tell them two or three things about them that are positive, about the love of God in them and who they are and their anointing or whatever the Lord lays on your heart. Go and tell them and eat bread with them. You can do it more than once too if you want. Because in that way, you release the healing power of God into our lives emotionally and mentally, which allows us to receive our healing physically. Amen? Can we do that together?